Good morning. Thank you so much for joining me here today. You guys get the privilege of listening to me talk for the next roughly 30 minutes. Sean, thank you for that introduction, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. When Nate first asked if I would speak for you guys this month in November, at that point I didn't know when I was getting married. I just kind of had a very small wedding, kind of spur of the moment, planned a little, but not all that way. But when he asked me to speak about this, I was initially excited. I do enjoy public speaking to some capacity. However, I do still get nerves about it. He had asked me, I had asked him what he might want me to speak on, and he said the topic of lament. And he had explained to me that he was going to be doing these two messages, either beautiful lament and not so beautiful lament. And last week, he spoke on not so beautiful lament. He had asked which one I would prefer to speak on, and I was originally inclined to take beautiful lament because that sounds nicer, sounds more beautiful. We're doing this series, Beauty in Binghamton. That sounds like the easier course. However, when you look at lament, it's a lot harder to pull beauty out of lament than it is to just let lament be lament. So last week, Nate was able to share with us kind of what lament is, what it looks like in the Psalms, and he was kind of going over those things with us. So when I began thinking about what beautiful lament is and how you can take something that is expressing sorrow, pain, and grief and draw beauty out of it, I felt like I had quite the challenge. And so it took me a little time to get kind of my brain working and thinking about these things as we have gone through a lot of things in my life that have brought a season of lament. This year alone has been a very challenge for me. I have had a lot of health struggles, different seasons of spiritual dryness, as one might say, those desert seasons where it feels God is far from you. And in those moments, that's where lament comes in. So these dry seasons kind of made me think about what we often are going to be looking at in this world. Usually when you look on social media or, you know, when you talk to maybe your coworker in the hall, usually saying hi, you're seeing the bright and smiley things. On social media, you're seeing these perfect pictures people post of their vacations and there's beautiful flowers or baked goods or whatever. You're not seeing the darkness that exists in each and every one of our lives. Because we often are portraying a very beautiful picture of our life, and we don't always let those dark seasons shine because it's not often encouraged. So we live in this world that teaches us these things, and to kind of keep our pain and our sorrow and our lament in private, in secret, and honestly, maybe not even at all. We're supposed to have smiley faces, and we're supposed to have good mornings and great days and beautiful life to show for that. However, for myself and for many of you, there are seasons where that is not the case. There are dark nights, there are hard moments, there's sickness, there's death, there's job loss, there's poverty, there's pain and suffering, and that is a very true reality for a lot of us. So when we look at these things, this pain, this sorrow, this suffering, I wanted to find a passage of scripture that would convey that. Somebody who we could maybe relate to, somebody who maybe had conveyed this message, beautiful lament, in a way that I could then just share with you, because it's a lot easier if we let the Bible talk and not me. So I kind of looked through scripture, and one of the things that God had kind of called me to was the book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah understood lament. He was known as the weeping prophet, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a moment. Yet in the midst of the broken nation that he was living in, God had also given him a vision of hope, this beautiful lament, this kind of bright side to sorrow. It's a picture of what it looks like to be rooted in Christ. That's what Jeremiah kind of shares with us. So I'm going to go ahead, excuse me, if you'd like to turn with me to Jeremiah. It's chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 8. And this passage is something that I have really held on to in my life, in my journey, and through my seasons of lament. So it was really good for me to be able to refresh and go over this, but also be able to really dive deep into what this can look like in each of our lives. So if you'd like, read with me in your Bible, or it'll be up on the screen. So it says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, and who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. This person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes, and they will dwell in the parched places of the desert. in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, and its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. Now, I just want to invite you guys to pray with me as we get started and as we get into today's message. Shall you pray with me? God, I just thank you so much for these words from Jeremiah and his work as one of your prophets. I thank you for the movement that these words had back in that time, but also that we can still draw from them today. God, I thank you for this opportunity to speak here with my brothers and sisters and just spend some time diving into your word. I ask that you help my words to be clear and that what is meant to be heard will be heard. And I just thank you so much for your goodness and your grace, even in these seasons of lament. Amen. So just some context for this passage and a little bit about Jeremiah, because I told you he was known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah's world was kind of falling apart. Israel, which is where he was, had turned away from God. They were trusting in political alliances and human strengths and not really following God's lead, which I don't know about you, but that's sometimes how the world feels today. Nations across the world are following their own desires. They're following the desires of the heart, which ironically enough, later on in this same chapter, talks about how the heart is being deceitful above all else. They're following their human strength. Same along with political alliances. We see that be the focus of today's world. And yet, I don't know about you, but when I see these things, it does not bring me peace. It does not bring me joy. It often brings me to lament. It's a time of sadness. And this was also what Jeremiah was experiencing. However, like I said before, he held this message of hope as well. His message was unpopular. He was often rejected and persecuted because of what he was sharing, this kind of hope amidst the dark times. Yet he didn't run from that pain, much like I want to, and many of you may want to as well. I'd rather spare myself from the pain than walk through it. He provided a message of this hope during the difficult times in his current situation. A time when lament likely felt like the cry of the heart. We heard from Nate last week that lament is this form of expression of kind of the cry of the heart. We read through a Psalms that kind of reflected what lament can be. If you guys did not get an opportunity to be here with us last week, I'd recommend you give that a listen. It is really crucial to understand what lament is in order to understand how to do it well, but also how to do it honestly, because the lament is something that each and every one of us are likely to experience. We're not immune from the pain and suffering of this world. And so even though we are Christ's followers, even though we have this hope in Christ, there's still reality that we live in a fallen world. So something else in Jeremiah that we see is, like I said, he's known as the weeping prophet. There are many verses we see where he's expressing this pain and this sorrow. One of them is from chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." Again, this was a hard time for Jeremiah. He was facing so many different things, and he was also trying to spread hope. When things get difficult and the world seems dark because of poverty, this political disunity, grief, death, cancer, job loss, financial troubles, it's difficult to hold hope. I want to suggest for just a moment that holding hope may not simply be looking for a silver lining. Not amidst the darkness, but rather holding hope can be bringing these fears, these realities, these concerns to the one who can help us hold it. Oftentimes, we think about lament as something to complain about. When I go through a season of hardship, whether it be any of the things I listed before, I don't often want to talk about it. It feels like I'm just complaining, feels like I'm just whining about something I can't change. And that doesn't seem to be productive to me. However, if we continue to hold that burden on our own, we're going to weigh ourselves down. And we need to change the way we think about lament, because lament isn't complaining about God, it's crying out to God. I want you guys to remember that you're bringing these concerns to the one who can change your situation, the one who can hold those burdens. Jeremiah shows us that even in lament there is beauty, because lament keeps the relationship alive. It's keeping that connection. It's alive and it's healthy. Before I started working in case management where I do now, I used to work for a foster care agency for 3 years. One of the things when I was thinking about this message was this relationship and keeping it healthy. I was thinking about the relationship of a parent and a child, as we often see that mirrored in Scripture, God being our Father and we are His children. Now, when I worked in foster care, one of the sad realities you see is child abuse and things that happen to children. We see also child development. When a baby has needs, they're going to cry. Whether they need their clothes changed, diaper changed, whatever, they're going to cry out for their parent or caregiver because they trust their needs will be met. However, if their needs are not met, they will stop crying out. They will no longer cry for those things because they're not having their needs met. So the same is true for us. The silence of disconnection from God is more dangerous than the sounds of our weeping. If we choose to take a step back from God, if we choose to keep those things to ourselves and carry those burdens alone, we're just relying on our own strength rather than, again, bringing them to the one who can hold them. I'm going to read this again, and I just want you to just let it sit with you for a moment. The silence of disconnection is more dangerous than the sounds of our weeping. I want to take a moment to kind of look a little deeper in the Scripture and kind of contrast the two different views that we see here. The first one is the cursed one we see from this chapter. And the cursed one is the one who trusts in man, like I said, this kind of disconnection. When we put our confidence in ourselves, others, in systems and circumstances, we're likely setting ourselves up to be disappointed, like the shrub in the wasteland who dries up when the heat comes. It looks alive for a little while. Those things can give us life for a time, but at the end of the day, the heat comes and it dries up quickly. Now, the second portion of this scripture is talking about the blessed one. It says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." This person is like a tree planted by the water. They're steady, nourished, and they're also fruitful. Now, I want to say the difference here is not that heat does not come to both, because it does. It does not say that this tree who is planted by the water no longer sees the heat. That's not the message we see here. But rather, the difference isn't whether it comes. It's really where the roots are when the heat comes. Because if the roots are shallow or in the wrong place, then the moment the heat comes, we're going to see this dryness. However, if we plant our roots by the stream, we're more likely to see growth than we are to see death. Both of these plants in this illustration see this heat, hardship, grief, pain. They're not evidence that God has left you. He is inevitable. Drought will come. The question is, will it destroy you or will it deepen you? And I don't want to just be ignorant here and saying that this is something that's just easy to do. It's not easy when the hardships come, when that heat comes, to say, my leaves are green and I'm doing great. The heat is still uncomfortable. The heat is still painful. It's still worth lamenting over. Just because you're rooted in the right place does not change the pain and sorrow and suffering that you may experience. However, it gives you different tools to help handle it. This drought reveals what's underground. Trees with shallow roots, they fall first. I want to be clear too. Oftentimes within the church, we hear that our trials are to build our fruit and build our roots. And now I'm not going to say that's not true, because I myself have had the most growth in some of my darkest seasons. However, there's also a lot of intention that needs to be put into growing our roots before the heat comes. They can grow roots, but it doesn't mean that that's their purpose. If I were going to try to grow a plant, I wouldn't plant it in harsh conditions. I have, like, so many houseplants. Ask my husband, there's probably, like, I don't even know, at least 45 or more. When I try to grow them, I'm going to give them the best chance I can for success. I'm not going to plant them and forget to water them, although I do from time to time. I'm going to tend after them. I'm going to clip off their dead leaves. I'm going to give them what they need to be successful. And church, I do think the same is true for God. I don't think he just plants us in shallow soil and leaves us on a shelf to die like I do with some of my houseplants. I think he has a lot more intention for us. So when these seasons of heat come, we have been set up for ways we can be successful. We do live in a broken world, so heat will come, and none of us are immune to that, myself included. However, like I said, if our roots are in Christ, we will not be destroyed. So what does this all have to do with lament? Because again, I think a lot of you know this. We need our roots in Christ. That's very important. You hear that. If you have gone to Sunday school, grew up in church, you've heard about those things. Your relationship with God is important. It's crucial to your success. But lament is not something that's often talked about. I don't know about you, but I think probably last week might have been the first sermon I ever heard about lament, specifically. I've heard about suffering and pain, and those messages have been covered. When it comes to expressing that through lament, I'm not sure I've ever heard too much on it. So when I started to look into lament and why lament may be important, because again, my initial thought was lament just sounds like complaining, and I try not to do that. However, I think there's a lot of good things that lament brings for us. One of them is that lament leads us to deeper roots. Like I explained, that connection of a parent and a child. When we bring our pain to God, we discover his presence in the wilderness in these dry seasons. We see in Psalms 34, verse 18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." When we express this sorrow to God, when we bring this heart cry to him, we will find closeness with God. It will bring us closer. That is what Scripture tells us. There is a strange beauty to this sorrow when it pushes us closer to Christ. If there was just sorrow for sorrow's sake, it's a pretty sad ending. There's not a lot of hope there. However, if we get to have our roots grown, if we get to have our connection built, we're going to see beauty come out of that. The other thing that lament does is it transforms our fruit. I don't know if you know too much about trees and or produce, but I do like to garden myself. And I did do a little research on this just to see what it says about trees that survive drought. It tells us that trees that have survived drought and have had seasons of dryness and then seasons of prosperity often produce sweeter fruit. Likewise, those of us who endure hardship, which again, I think will be all of us in some way, shape, or form, when we go through these hardships in Christ, we do bear fruit. We see more compassion, more endurance, more empathy, and more peace. Because again, if we want to be able to lean on one another and help one another, these fruits are important. We need compassion to be able to see our brother when they're in that time of sorrow. We need empathy when we're sitting with our sister who's going through something difficult. These are fruits that we need to grow. And sometimes, as unfortunate as it is, the only way we can understand those situations is if we've been anywhere near them. The last thing for lament that I think is very important when I was thinking about it is that Jesus himself modeled lament. In Gethsemane, Jesus wept. He said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow." On the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His lament became our redemption. And I know one might say that this lament had a different ending. He died. However, he also came back to life. And if Jesus could lament, then lamenting is not a weakness, it's a worship. And so again, I want you guys to reflect on this for just a moment. If Jesus can lament, then lamenting is not weakness, it's not complaining, it's not worthless. It can be worship to God. It can bring that connection that we so desperately need to our Savior. So again, how do we put this into practice in our lives? We heard a little bit about last week about how you can lament, what that might look like. So I think that's very important. I think practicing lament in whatever way that may look like for you is crucial to growing and practicing your relationship with God. Now, there's also a couple of things that are important in terms of lamenting and also in terms of living a rooted life in Christ. One that we see illustrated in this passage of Scripture is staying near the stream, putting your roots in the right places. Daily connection keeps your soul nourished even when life feels dry. Roots grow best with stillness and time, not in storms, not in heat. And I just want to be clear, I'm not just talking about reading your Bible and saying a prayer. However, those are very crucial to spiritual growth. Both can be tools on this journey, but when your heart is broken, when you're in this dry season of the desert, sometimes those actions feel pretty distant, at least for me anyhow. Sometimes it feels very impersonal to look at words in a book, even if they are the words of God. Sometimes for me, what my soul needs are moments of silence, connection with other believers, maybe a walk outside. I enjoy painting or tending to my house plants. Those actions are sometimes ways that I can fill my soul and build my connection with God. Because growing roots is often intentional in taking care of your soul, and what it looks like for each one of us may be a little different. It will include a lot of the pieces of the same thing, like I said, turning to Scripture, turning to your brother in Christ, spending time in stillness and peace. But the outcome, whether our recipe looks different, will still be the same. It'll be growing those roots. The next portion that I think is very important to keeping yourself rooted, but also having honest and true lament, is being honest and true in your prayers. Don't edit your emotions. God can handle your honesty. True faith isn't pretending everything's fine. It's bringing everything that's not fine to God. I'm going to read that again. True faith isn't pretending that everything is fine. It's bringing everything that's not fine to God. Because again, like I said at the beginning, so often we keep this social media appearance of saying my life is happy, things are exciting, I have this beauty in my life, look over here. Don't look over here to this sorrow and this lament and this reality that I'm facing, because this feels dark, this feels heavy. Whereas if we look at this, it feels bright and nice and looks pretty. But I don't want you to do the same to God, and I don't want you to do the same to your brothers and sisters in Christ. I invite you and myself to try being honest about our situation, about how we're feeling, and expressing those in the right places. The next one, much like these two, go together. Staying in community. Trees, which again, I'm following this illustration all the way through, are often share roots underground. That's how forests survive storms. If our roots are intertwined, if we're grown together towards the same goal, which is to be rooted in Christ, we will be stronger when this heat comes, when these storms come, we will not fall. Staying connected with others who will remind you where the water is. This stream is what gives us life. It is being rooted in Christ. So maybe staying in community looks like sharing the table like we're supposed to be doing this afternoon. Maybe it means getting coffee during the week when you're having a rough day. Could be a phone call to somebody you trust when your heart is breaking. Maybe it's, again, maybe you're the one that gets to be on the offering end. Maybe you see somebody who's hurting or struggling and you know that you can offer some comfort in this time of struggle. This is what it means to stay in community. This is why it's important for us to be rooted in Christ and also rooted in each other. Now, again, we're looking at two trees, one in the desert and one by the stream. Both face the same sun, the same heat, and the same drought, but only one endures. We might be in a dry season. We might be lamenting, but God is not done with us. The very tears that we cry today may be the roots of a deeper faith. This sorrow and this pain and this suffering that we're facing is not the end. There is a story of hope that Jeremiah held on to and that we get to hold on to. And that's the beauty that's within lament, is that our heart cry, this pain, this suffering, does have redemption in the end when we are rooting in Christ. So I want you guys to think for just a moment about what that means for each and every one of you. Maybe you need a little bit more time reading your Bible and praying. Maybe you need to make a little bit more time for stillness and Sabbath in order to unwind and decompress from the chaos of this world. Maybe you need more time with one another. Maybe you're feeling lonely in this time of darkness. Evaluate where your needs are and also evaluate where your strengths are. Like I said, these roots, these sorrows, these struggles grow these fruits such as patience and kindness and peace and empathy. Maybe these fruits are areas that you can help one another. Maybe you have a coworker who's struggling. Maybe you have somebody here that you know that could use a cup of coffee this week. So again, I want you guys to have an open mind as to what this might look like in your life. Because again, even when suffering comes, when our roots are in Christ, even our lament can become beautiful. Because out of sorrow, God brings strength. Out of pain, he brings peace. And out of lament, he can grow these lasting fruits. And church, this is just something that I think is so beautiful. We get to have this moment here to think and reflect on lament. We had last week's message where Nate kind of laid out what lament looks like. This week, I've tried to give you an image of why lament might bring your spirituality and your growth closer to God, deepen your roots. And we get to have this hope because of what Christ did for us. He shed his blood for us, and we are going to get to our high moment in the service where we get to partake in communion and reflect on how his body was broken for us and how we have this opportunity to grow lasting fruit. But I just want you to remember that, again, out of sorrow can come really great things. So will you pray with me? God, teach us to lament beautifully and help us not to fear the heat, God, as we so often do, or at least I so often do. I ask that you dig our roots deeper in you and let our pain become a place where your presence is known and that your glory is revealed. God, I ask that as we go from here, that you are alongside each one of us in whatever season we are, whether it's a season of darkness or maybe a season of growth. I just ask that you meet us where we're at and that you show us how we can continue to grow in you no matter what circumstances we're facing. I thank you for your goodness and everything that you've done for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.